it ready for the unquenchable, the untunable, and the unlunchable. Get ready for the unbodied horror radio theater. This month's episode is entitled Black Knight at Barbecue Mansion and was written by Jeff Sink.
Yes, may I help you?
Yes, my name is Carol Waits. Mr. Barbecue has invited me to dinner.
Quite. Come this way. You will wait here for Mr. Barbecue. Please, make yourself a drink.
I sure was hoping to see Mr. Barbecue after all these years, but I guess I'll have to wait.
Are you talking to me?
To tell you the truth, I was just talking so that maybe somebody would come up and say something to me. I get so nervous at these dinner parties.
What an odd habit, but it's working. I'm Mrs. Pennypound. My husband's the butcher in town.
Hello, Mrs. Pennypound.
Say, don't I know you?
You might. I grew up in this town, but I've been away for a while. I'm Carol.
You're Howard and Samantha's kid, aren't you?
That's right.
I remember now. You live just down the street from me. I always used to see you walk into elementary school, then middle school, then high school, and then the community college. And then you dropped out of college, didn't you?
Well, I didn't drop out. I just decided to take some time.
What a shame.
No, not really, because I've been doing a lot of...
What a real shame. So much potential all wasted.
Well, actually, I feel like it's the best thing for me, because...
A disappointing shame, that's what it is. Well, I need to get another drink.
I knew I shouldn't have come back to this town. I knew it was a bad idea.
What was a bad idea? Eating the cream cheese puffs? I agree, so many calories.
Oh, Dr. Marshall, is that you? I haven't seen you in so long, but I recognized you immediately. You were my pediatrician for all those years.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember you. The years have torn my memory to ribbons.
I'm Carol. Carol Waits.
I'm sorry, my dear, but that does nothing for my tired old brain. Tell me, what was such a bad idea?
Well, I was thinking that it was a bad idea to move back to town. I just don't feel welcome here. Maybe I should have stayed in the big city, where there were big crowds and noisy streets and things going on constantly. Actually, I hated all of those things. That's why I left.
Now I remember you. You're the college dropout.
That's not the only thing I'm known for. I've made a name for myself without college.
Indeed. What are you doing back in town?
Well, I'm going to be the new head librarian at the Main Street branch. It's a big responsibility, but I can handle it. In fact, I'm going to reinvigorate this community with my ideas. First, I'll start up a bookmobile program. A real one. Not like the bookmobile program Old Man Pendleton used as a front to sell drugs to children. I think I'll be a great librarian.
They're letting college dropouts become librarians now? I tell you, standards are slipping.
I'll show you. What's this dinner about, anyway? I've always heard that old Jonathan Barbecue was some kind of recluse, but I wasn't back in town for more than a week before I got his invitation for dinner.
We aren't quite sure what's going on either, but starting a month ago, folks in town started getting invitations to have dinner up here at Barbecue Mansion. I guess the rest of us were bound to be invited as well.
Yeah, but who'd think we'd get thrown in with a dropout?
What was that, Mrs. Pennypound?
I was just saying what an honor it is to be here.
What's Mr. Barbecue's story, anyway? I mean, why is he a recluse and all? Is it just that every town has to have one and he drew the short stick?
This isn't Stalinist Russia, girl. We all travel down our own paths, even if that means traveling with a butcher. No, Mr. Barbecue didn't always used to be a recluse. The barbecues were a major part of this town. They were at every barn dance and every bake sale. He and his wife were once the talk of the town. But then it happened.
What happened?
The Smithsons moved in, and they became the talk of the town.
What happened to Mr. Barbecue that made him a recluse?
Oh, well, his wife was found floating in the duck pond at the park.
Oh my goodness, how tragic. How did she die?
I don't know. We just buried her. We weren't very stringent on procedures back then.
You buried her? I thought you were the town pediatrician.
I am, and the town coroner. I get two paychecks that way.
To return to the topic. After that, nobody saw Mr. Barbecue out in public again. Of course, you could hear him playing his electric organ if you walked by the house.
I never knew he played the electric organ.
He started playing the day his wife died. Sometimes, when the wind comes in just right, I can hear it by my window at night. It's annoying. That's why tonight, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to jam this old shirt into one of the pipes. That ought to silence it.
Is that shirt from a Fleetwood Mac concert?
June 1986, in Pittsburgh.
I was there, too. I tried to get Stevie Nicks' autograph, but her bodyguard elbowed me in the stomach.
Good evening to you all.
It's Mr. Barbecue.
Thank you for waiting. I'd like to invite you all to the dining room to feast on an old barbecue family favorite, pasta.
I'll catch up with the rest of you, but first I need to take care of some business. Mr. Barbecue, I was wondering if I could make a pre-dinner request.
Anything, ma'am.
I have been dying to see your organ all night. Will you show it to me?
Well, I was planning on showing it after the meal.
Please, I'm not the type who can wait for things.
Actually, it would be better this way. Follow me.
This pasta is scrumptious.
Isn't it, though? I love a good white sauce. I don't think I've introduced myself. I'm Rector Stevens from the Church of the Questioning Monk. I'm a Presbyterian.
Hello, I'm Carol Waits. I didn't know there was a Presbyterian church in town. I always remember everyone going to Our Lady of the Uncomfortable Seats. That is, until we found out the priest was using our tithing money at the strip club and we burned down the place.
The church or the strip club?
Both. It was the same building. That should have probably tipped us off.
Well, at the Church of the Questioning Monk, we don't indulge in things like that. If you come by on Saturday, we could show you how our church is different.
Saturday? That is different. I thought Presbyterians attended church on Sunday.
My goodness. So that's why turnout has been so small. Till Sunday, then.
Thanks, but on Sunday I have to look through all the children's books. Somebody wrote an awful lot of naughty words on all those pages.
Hello, I apologize for being late.
Where's Mrs. Pennypound? Wasn't she with you?
Mrs. Pennypound became absorbed in something. I'm sure you'll find her later. How is everyone enjoying dinner?
It is superb. It's almost too good to be true.
What do you mean by that, Dr. Marshall?
I just mean that this meal is so scrumptious. It seems impossible that a regular human could make it. Perhaps you formed some deal with the devil.
Do you not think I could have made this dinner on my own?
Well, that's not what I meant.
Because I didn't. Cook made it.
Well, my compliments to her then.
What an interesting idea, though. Striking a bargain with the devil in order to create delicious food. Could it be done? And if so, what other deals could be made?
The only thing I would really want is to keep my house clean, but I don't think I'll be selling my soul to the devil to do it.
I'd sell my soul to the devil for a larger congregation. Hypothetically.
Why must it be the devil?
Who else would it be? He and God are the only two in that business.
Have you never thought that there might be other forces in the world apart from God and the devil whom you could deal with? Other beings, far more ancient and arcane, and possibly even more powerful? Beings who quite possibly emerged into our world millennia ago from some other, more mystical land?
No, I had not thought of it. But I admit that my mind has been more focused on library duties, like chasing that pack of wolves out of the upstairs reading room.
Perhaps you should look into it. Call to them.
Mr. Barbecue, what you speak of is blasphemy. In the Ten Commandments, God states that there should be no other God before him. And that was given directly from heaven to Abraham.
Moses.
Whatever. It still proves my point.
Richter Stevens, your point is entirely relative. You believe what you do because you aren't open to any other suggestions. You might be surprised by what's really out there.
Barbecue, you can keep your boogeyman and Chathuselus. I operate in the real world, where only my god and the devil have any say in what we do.
Perhaps you'll have an opportunity to change your mind later on tonight.
Sir, dessert is ready when you and your guests are.
Thank you. Shall we have dessert now, my friends? It's make your own Sunday.
I think we should wait for Mrs. Pennypound to come back. I'm sure she won't want to miss that.
Mrs. Pennypound has left. She said she wanted to spend time with her husband, Mr. Pennypound.
See, Carol? She's taken care of. Now let's not ask any more questions about her. Who likes Jimmy's?
I do.
It's a barbecue family tradition to treat all guests like kings, so don't hold back on the toppings.
I'm going to make a mountain of coconut on top of my ice cream.
Mr. Barbecue, I wanted to ask you about our topic of conversation at dinner.
Go ahead.
Well, you asked us if we believed if there were any other supernatural beings in the world, but you didn't tell us whether that was your belief or not. What's your opinion?
I'll tell you what I told the rector. There is more to this world than you think.
So if there is, do you believe that we can contact these supernatural beings and strike bargains with them? Have you ever done that?
You're nuts.
I am not!
No, I mean the nuts on your sundae. They're falling off the bowl and onto your shirt.
Oh, thanks.
To answer your question, I believe there's a whole pantheon of powerful forces in this world, and we commune with them more often than you might think. Consider this. At some point in our lives, we've all called to a higher power to grant our wishes. Some people say it's God, but ultimately, we have no way of knowing for sure, do we?
I guess not, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't really matter what we're praying to, does it? Our wish still doesn't get granted.
That seems a bit pessimistic for a young person like yourself. If you keep calling out, someone will eventually answer. Excuse me.
Dr. Marshall, do you get the feeling there's something odd about Jonathan Barbecue?
Why do you say that?
He just seems obsessed with the occult. All that talk about unseen supernatural beings seems like a bizarre conversation.
Have you ever worked in the ER? I once had to ask a man why he had 32 birthday candles shoved up where the sun doesn't shine. Now that's a bizarre conversation.
Yes. Well, anyway, I guess it just rubbed me the wrong way. And something about Mrs. Pennypound leaving without telling any of us seems a little fishy.
No, there I agree with you.
You do? You think there's something not right?
Definitely. Mrs. Pennypound hates her husband. She would do anything possible to avoid him. Last year, she even became the town's only volunteer firefighter to stay away from him. She started so many fires that summer.
Do you think Barbecue was lying when he said that she'd left?
I don't think she went to her husband.
So she's missing, and Barbecue probably knows where she is.
Let's go ask him.
Are you crazy? He lied to us once. He's not going to start telling the truth now. No, we have to do some investigating on our own.
Well, I better accompany you. There's no telling how a college dropout might mess this up.
I am capable, but having an assistant would be helpful. Let's ask around and see when Miss Pennypound was last seen.
Hello, my lambs.
Rector Stevens, we were wondering if you could recall the last time you saw Mrs. Pennypound tonight?
Why, it must have been before supper. But didn't Barbecue say she'd gone home?
We think that may have been a fabrication.
My goodness, I don't understand lying. Of course, I see no problem with withholding the truth to make someone happy. I've never informed my secretary that her bad breath could take the paint off a car, and she remains the picture of blissful ignorance, just like Adam and Eve, before they discovered the terrible shame of God's greatest gift, procreation. But why would Barbecue lie about Mrs. Pennypound's whereabouts?
Maybe he only wants us to think that she's gone home. We could have her here. Somewhere in this house. He could be harvesting her organs as we speak.
Harvesting her organs?
It's just a theory I have. One of several. Anyway, we think she's missing.
Well then, I suppose that makes two people gone missing tonight.
Two?
Yes. Mr. Ming, who runs the Thai restaurant on Maple Street, is gone as well.
There's a Thai place in town now?
It's not that good. When did Mr. Ming disappear?
Oh, about an hour ago. He said he needed to use the bathroom, but he didn't return.
Suspicious. Something is definitely going on here. Come on, you two, let's retrace Mr. Ming's steps and see if we can find any clues. Are you coming, Rector?
Oh, must I? I was hoping for seconds.
It seems like a good idea for you to accompany us. With a man of God with us, we should be protected.
I don't do any of that exorcist crap. Ugh, so be it.
He must have come up these stairs here to get to the bathroom. I bet he climbed them left foot first, then right. Or could it be right, then left? What do you think, Rector?
I bet he hopped on his left foot all the way up. What difference does it make?
I'm just trying to get into the mind of Mr. Ming.
Don't bother. He's Chinese, so all of his thoughts are probably in Mandarin.
He's Chinese and he runs a Thai restaurant?
What? Can't Chinese people own Thai restaurants?
It's just a little odd, that's all. Not what you'd expect.
My sister runs an Italian restaurant and she's not Italian.
And my uncle owns a plus-size store, and he's not fat.
Okay, I get it. Just help me look for clues.
I'll look over here in the unlit portion of the hallway.
Okay, but I don't know how you're going to see anything. Dr. Marshall, check out the banister, and I'll see you to the bathroom.
Sorry, Carol. There's nothing here.
Rats. What's that? Ah!
Sorry, is this the line for the bathroom?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're not gonna find anything here. This is a dead end.
You're right. We might as well go back to the others and wait for new developments. Come on, Rector Stevens. Rector Stevens? Rector Stevens! He's not here!
He isn't? I thought he was right beside us.
They got the Rector! But how did Barbecue get him so quickly? We must have seen the Rector not 2 minutes ago.
Perhaps they grabbed him and pulled him into one of these rooms.
All of these doors are locked.
Rector Stevens!
Rector Stevens! Wait, do you hear that?
Yes, it sounds like some kind of movement. And it's right down this hall. The noise is coming from this room. It's stuck.
Oh, it sounds like they're torturing him in there. Try harder. We must get the door open. Put your back into it. They could be pulling out the Rector's fingernails. Stop! That's not the Rector.
It's just an old washing machine. You'd think that Barbecue could afford nicer appliances.
Was that?
I'm sure that was a woman's scream, and it came from further down the hall.
The shriek came from this room. Open the door.
It seems to be jammed.
Cursed humidity, causing these wooden doors to expand in their frames. Here, we'll break it open by running into it. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Cease what you're doing, huh?
What is the matter, sir?
We heard screaming coming from this room, and we demand to know who you are murdering, and furthermore, we make the suggestion that you stop murdering that person.
I'm afraid I'm at a loss. You see, I've just been polishing the floor in here, not murdering anyone. Let me demonstrate.
But we heard screams coming from this room.
That is indeed unusual, but...
There's the noise!
I have the explanation, then. Whenever this floor waxer gets caught on a cord or a piece of string, it has the tendency to make the most awful screeching noise.
So it wasn't a murder after all?
Darn it. Now what's that noise?
Oh, it's probably just Barbecue's whistling tea kettle or another appliance on the fritz.
I can assure you that the sound you are hearing is indeed Mr. Barbecue's electric organ, and not some malfunctioning device.
Really? Where's the organ?
In the attic, but I would advise you not to seek it out. You'll regret it.
Nonsense! We intend to confront Mr. Barbecue about all of these strange disappearances. Come on, Doctor. Organ? I'm getting winded by climbing all of these stairs.
So not only are you a college dropout, but you're also in bad shape.
You know, Doctor, I seem to remember noticing quite a few occasions at your office that you had bad taste in decorating. But I didn't keep talking to you about it.
Color blindness is a medical condition. It's not my fault.
The jig is up.
What are you referring to?
Missing. Give me a minute.
Of course. Mind if I finish this song?
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Yay!
Now then, what did you wish to talk with me about, my dear woman?
Actually, I want you to do the talking. Tell us what you've done with them.
Who?
Your missing guests, man. What have you done with them?
Missing guests? Who's missing? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah? Then tell us what happened to Rector Stevens.
Certainly. He's in the garden having a smoke. He's been out there for some time. Come on, take a look out this window.
Well, that looks like him.
Yes. He told me he was going to take a smoke break.
What? He told you?
Yeah, right before he disappeared.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
I suppose I got caught up in your enthusiasm. Your hysteria was contagious.
Grr! You still haven't explained what happened to Mr. Ming.
Mr. Ming? Now I remember. He left suddenly after receiving a call from his brother telling him that rats had devoured all his rice, and so he'd have to go buy some more for tomorrow.
That's disgusting.
I told you it wasn't a very good restaurant.
Guess not. That explains the rector and Mr. Ming's whereabouts. I suppose Mrs. Pennypound really did just go home to her husband?
Oh, no. She didn't go home. I fed her soul to my organ.
What?
That's right. Mrs. Pennypound's soul is now in the bowels of my organ.
My goodness, what a malfaction.
You monster! How can you take the soul of a wonderful...
Let's not go overboard.
Right. How can you take the soul of a kind yet irritating but not so bad human being and feed it to this device?
You mean the procedure? It was simple. She came in here, I performed the chant, and my organ consumed her soul.
Despicable.
I prefer to think of it as supply and demand.
Why are you doing this anyway?
Let me tell you a story. Decades ago, I was at a thrift shop with my dear wife looking for a new toaster. We didn't find one, but I did come across this organ. It looked normal enough, and it played well, so we brought it home with us. It was only later that I discovered what was hiding inside the organ.
A small woman?
No. A manual. One that gave me all the knowledge to transform the organ into an instrument of unbelievable musical power. You see, the organ is a living thing, but it was slumbering when I purchased it. To wake it up, I had to feed it human souls. The manual revealed to me the process. The victim's hands are placed on the organ, and the ancient secret words are recited. That gave the organ the power to drain the soul right out of the person.
That somehow makes sense.
Yes. I wanted to awaken the organ, but my wife objected. She said I was getting all worked up over something I'd probably forget in a week. And she was kind of right. Why, if you could only see all the half-finished scarves and paint-by-numbers I have in this place, you'd understand.
Oh no, I totally get it. I never finish books. I've got about a dozen mostly finished novels lying around my apartment.
So you empathize.
Anyway.
Yes, to continue. I heeded my wife's words for some time, and I ignored the organ. But it called to me. In my dreams, the organ spoke my name and begged me to feed it. I began going up to the attic at night, just to be close to the organ. One night, as I entered the attic, my wife came out from behind a box. She started yelling at me, telling me that I had to get rid of the organ. But I couldn't do that. When she'd tired herself out, she hunched over the organ, staring out the window. I saw the opportunity, and before I could stop myself, I was reciting the chant. My wife thrashed about as if she were being electrocuted, and then she fell to the floor. Then my organ groaned and sighed. It was alive! It beckoned me to come to the keyboard, and I played all night long. In the morning, I remembered that I'd killed my wife, and so I disposed of her body.
And that's when you dumped her body in the duck pound at the park.
Don't be melodramatic. I buried her in the backyard. It was merely a coincidence that her twin sister died on the same day. She was always going to the park to taunt those ducks. It was only a matter of time before they got their revenge.
So now the organ's come back to life, thriving on the soul of your wife.
Well, not just her soul. It needed others.
Others? How many others?
Oh, a few every year. Most of the time I'd go down to the strip club and round up the drunks. I'd steal their souls and dump their bodies at the hospital. Nobody seemed to notice.
Dr. Marshall, you never notice all these surplus corpses coming to your hospital?
Well, corpses are icky. I just wanted to get them out of the hospital as quickly as possible. I didn't ask questions.
I, on the other hand, became quite comfortable around my cadaverous comrades. After some time, however, the strip club burned down and I had to collect my victims through a new means.
That's when you started hosting these dinners.
Precisely. I get the townsfolk fattened up and then deliver them to the organ.
That would explain why none of your previous guests have returned after coming to the dinner here.
You've caught on, but too late. Now you're here and my organ is hungry.
We won't cooperate!
No, perhaps this will entice you.
An axe!
A blade to aid in my unholy mission. Come here.
We're through.
Perhaps not. I've got an idea. Barbecue, stop. I'm ready to be sacrificed. I know that this is the end for me.
I'm a little taken aback. None of my victims have been so eager to give themselves to the organ, apart from that nice man from Cincinnati. Well, come hither and place your hands upon the Wurlitzer. Ready?
Oh, yes.
Rich Norag Chethra Betu von Zwieback.
Carol, no!
Don't get your stethoscope in a twist. That was just my cell phone. I forgot to put it on silent. To recommence, Veki Nimar Rion Veldag, Safe Tile Tira Glow Jastin, Conron!
No!
Is that it?
Yes! You should be a soulless biological bag by now.
Maybe your machine needs servicing. Why don't you come take a closer look?
Everything appears to be in working order. I can't fathom the malfunction.
You know, I think there's something wrong with the Leslie, but you'll have to come in closer to see it. That's right. Just a little closer. In fact, you'll want to rest both of your hands on the top of the organ here so that you can lean in closer.
Yes, quite. Let's see.
He's dead.
His soul was consumed by his own malicious organ.
Incredible. Why didn't you get your soul ripped out as well?
Well, I used my intellect to trick Barbecue. I kept my hands just above the organ. It only appeared as if I was touching it. And I knew that after he recited the incantation, the organ would eat the soul of whomever touched the organ. And that's why I deceived him into placing both of his hands down. Pretty clever, huh?
Clever? Fiendish. You're a college dropout and a murderer. What a resume.
Excuse me. I think you should be a bit more grateful. I just saved your life.
Unnecessary. I had already thought of a way to save myself without your help.
Oh, yeah? What was your ingenious idea?
I was going to run back downstairs while your soul was getting sucked out.
You spineless slug.
Forget it. The moment has passed. What are we going to do now? This whole situation looks awfully suspicious.
You're right. If anyone comes up here and sees us with the dead body of Jonathan Barbecue, they'll certainly think we murdered him.
I think at this point, it's time to step up and do the responsible thing. Fire! The house is on fire!
It's going to burn down any minute! Everyone has to get out! Is everyone out safe? Rector, there you are.
Oh, my child. I am so relieved to see you and the doctor again. I had worried you had been consumed in the fiery furnace, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
But here we are.
And what of our gracious host? Where is he?
Oh, I don't think he got out of the fire.
Yes, I think that conflagration may have claimed him.
How terrible. Well, when you conspire against God like Barbecue did, you are bound to burn in hellfire. It is a pity, though. He was going to show me his organ after dinner.
You've just heard Black Knight at Barbecue Mansion, another story of the unbodied. Jessica Lee Clyde played Carol Waits. Leslie Pippin was Dr. Marshall. Joseph Taylor played Rector Stevens and the butler. And Jeff Sink was Jonathan Barbecue and Mrs. Pennypound. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.